Okay, we're doing the parasha of Ki Teitzeh. What I'd like to do is think about something about Miriam. Miriam, she was a character in the Bible. And she played a very important role in the creation of Am Yisrael because she saved Moshe Rabbeinu, who certainly played an important role in the creation of Am Yisrael. And while that does define her to a certain extent, it does not define her entirely. So there are two texts that I'd like to relate to. One is here, the text at the bottom of the page. See Shmot Perek Tet Vav? Shmot Perek, just to remind you, remember they crossed Yam Suf. The Jews crossed Yam Suf, and Moshe Rabbeinu sang Shirat HaYam, which has become like a very important part of liturgy, of our liturgy. We say Shirat HaYam every day, right? Some days we say it in a special way, Shabbat Shirah, there's a minhag of Chasidim to say it Pasuk B'Pasuk on those days, but it's a very important part of the liturgy. It's the sort of the end of what we call Psukei D'Zimra, the songs that we sing, which are usually Pirkei Tehillim, except for Shirat HaYam, which is the Shirah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, after the Shirah of Moshe Rabbeinu, it says in the Torah, "Vatikach Miriam haNeviah Achot Aharon et Atof biYada, vatetzena kol haNashim acharei betupim ubimecholot." Miriam, right? Batikah, she took Miriam. Her adverbs are Hanaviah, she's a prophetess. Achot Aharon, the sister of Aharon. Right? Et HaTof B'Yadah. Tof is some kind of a musical instrument. It doesn't so much matter what it is. Vateitzena kol anashim achareha, and all the women came out with her. So the two things you learn from this, you could learn from this. I mean, you know, that one is that in certain kinds of events, the men and the women were separate. When are the men and the women separate? Simcha. Simcha is always dangerous, right? The Rambam uses the two words simcha and holalut. Simcha is a word that describes an obligation. Right, there's a chiyuv of simcha on Yantif, maybe there's sort of a chiyuv of simcha on Shabbat, not really, but a little bit domeh. And then there is a prohibition. The prohibition is holalut, is called, that's what you shouldn't do. Simcha can always become holalut. You have to be careful about that, about simcha becoming holalut. The Rambam talks about this especially in Hilchot Lulav Etrog, in Sukkot, in the laws of Sukkot, when the simcha was especially prevalent in the Beit HaMikdash, right? In the Beit HaMikdash, all the people came together and they did simcha. And they had to avoid holilut. Interestingly, one of the ways that they did, if you think about modern day weddings, how in the old days it was one way and today it's sometimes a different way, but in the Beit HaMikdash, the leading simcha makers were the elders. Now that definitely puts a damper on it. You know, like, if the elders, the old people, are leading the way in singing and dancing, then it's unlikely that the simcha will turn into holalut, right? This is even true today to a certain extent in certain kinds of weddings, you know, like in Hasidic weddings. You go to a Hasidic wedding, they get somebody who's 100 years old to dance with the kala, and everybody loves that, right? So it sort of puts the young people out of business. Okay, so here's Miriam. She's a Neviah. She's Achot Aharon. And she takes all the women with her. Betupim ubimecholot. She herself, she took the tof, and all the other women took a whole mess of instruments which are called tupim and mecholot. Tupim, we have in modern Hebrew, we call drums, different kinds of drums. A tof, right? There's even a drum called a tof Miriam for obvious reasons. And mecholot, whatever that is. I don't know what that is.
Why is it hatof hayidia?
What? I guess. I see you're into grammar. Hmm. No? I don't know. I'll give you two answers. The first answer is I don't know, which is the true answer. Then the Bilbul HaMoach answer is that while it is true that the hay that is called hay hayidia distinguishes something that is yadua from something that is not yadua, something that is determined against something that's not determined. Like in English, you say a table or the table, right? A table means we don't know which table we're talking about. And the table means here it is. That's called a dectic particle. Now, just like in English, that distinction... Oh, sorry. I once took a course in Hebrew University on Talmudic law. And the person who gave the course looked at the students and said, "Who knows Greek?" And two guys raised their hand. And then he said, who knows Latin? Three other students raised their hand. And then he says, "Who knows Aramaic?" Some other students raised their hand. Then he said, "Who knows Old Persian?" Nobody raised their hand. So he said, "I want to tell you about Old Persian." Which gave us all a lot of confidence. Well, I'm just saying, I'm doing English with a professor of English sitting here. That's like a bad move, right? You know, I could get into trouble. So the difference in A and V is, while it is true that it exists in grammars, doesn't necessarily exist in either writing or speaking. Like, people mix up the definitive and the lack of definitive. Did I answer your question? It's just an expanded version of "I don't know." It generates comment, right? If it says the tof, so you say, well, which one is it? Oh, it was that one, right? It generates comment, but if you look at it statistically, it's very hard to tell when the definitive article is used and when it's not used. If you know that it's a choice of some sort. So, in other words, I don't know. But that's a good question.
We have the same usage in English, right? You would go, "Sound the trumpet." Doesn't mean the specific trumpet.
Yeah, I'm just saying a trumpet, the trumpet, it doesn't really make that much difference. Sometimes it does. Right? There are people who are very pedantic, and they do it. But sometimes it's not that way. So since we saw the pasuk, the first pasuk, the first pasuk in Rashi. Vatikach Miriam Hanavia, Heichan Nitnab'a. Like, why does the pasuk say that she was a Nevi'a? Where was her Nevi'a? So quotes the Chazal, Moshe, right? In other words, takes care of six problems in the pasuk at the same time. You know, those is why does the pasuk say Vitikach Miriam? Why does it say she's in the via? And why does she say she's achot Aharon? She's achot Moshe v'Aharon, right? So the answer is Heichan nitnab'a k'shaita achot Aharon. That's where she prophesied, when she was only the sister of Aaron, meaning before Moshe Rabbeinu was born, before he was born. Kodem shenolad Moshe, Amra, Atida imi sheteleid ben. She prophesied that Moshe Rabbeinu would be born. So that, like, if you have to explain that, Kedida b'sota, okay. So in other words, who is Miriam? She's the one who prophesied. What is prophecy? Prophecy is a way of ensuring that something is going to happen. But the prophet said it's going to happen, and you expect it to happen. even more than if the prophet had not said it was going to happen. So somehow the implication is that Miriam is the mother or the generator of Moshe Rabbeinu. So that another way of saying that Moshe Rabbeinu, he sang the song with his guys, and Miriam went and sang the song with her women. But there was no, they were on par somehow. These two people were on par. We know about Moshe Rabbeinu, but we don't know about Miriam. So we know that Miriam somehow generated Moshe Rabbeinu through Nevuah, and therefore it made sense for her to go and lead the women into Saul. Davar Acher, the second interpretation of Rashi is, Achot Aharon Afishim Asar Nafsho Aleha Shenitzara the Great Al Shimo. So there's another way of explaining why the Pasuk says Achot Aharon and not Moshe, because Aharon tried to protect her when they were caught speaking Lashon Hara against Moshe Rabbeinu, and he asked Moshe to pray for her. Okay, so you see Rashi, he's got those words, right? He got the words down, and then it says that she took Hatov, Klichel Minezema, Rashi doesn't say anything. Betupim uvim mecholot. So Rashi, of course, asked the question. What's the question, Rashi? Where they get tupim and mecholot from? We know what they took when they left Mitzrayim. They took valuables. They took the stuff that the money that they were owed. Why would they take tupim and mecholot, Rashi? Muftachot ayutzit kaniyot shebedosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu oseh lahem nisim votziu tupim mimitzrayim. So you could argue that the song that was sung by the women was greater yet than the song that was sung by the men, because the men were singing about what happened, right? They said, gee, what a surprise, we got through Yam Suf, we made it. But the women were singing in praise of their own prophecy, their own feeling, their own understanding that it would work. So the women certainly were worthy of great respect. Batan lahem Miriam, the second pasuk. Batan lahem Miriam means that they first played the music and then they sang the song. Not with the men. The men first they sang them, said the words, then they repeated the words, then they said the words Moshe Rabbeinu. One way or the other, right? You know, as the Gemara says that the men sang a chorus. Ashira Lashem Ki Gao Gala Susrafo Ramabayam, then Moshe Rabbeinu said the next passage, the next passage, the next one. They kept singing the same chorus over and over again. But when it came to the women, first they played music, and then they started singing the words, Shira Lashem Ki Gao Gala Susrafo Ramabayam, Matan Le Miriam Rashi, Moshe Amar Shira Lanashim, Hu Omer Behem Onim Acharav. Rashi's of the opinion that Moshe Rabbeinu said the pasuk and they said the pasuk after him, right? The men. Miriam Amra Shira Lenashi. That they both did the same thing. Nevertheless, Rashi emphasized the fact that Tupim and Mecholot were a special aspect of the faith that the women had. This is brought up several times in different contexts. Remember Mar'ot HaTzovot, that the women donated their mirrors. The mirrors they used in Mitzrayim in order to make themselves beautiful so that they would become pregnant, and that was an act of faith. That's an act of faith. Okay, so here we have, here's Miriam. Right, Miriam, great personality. She sang in Shirat Hayam. Alright. We'll look at the other pasuk. Later on, let's look at our parsha. What it says in our parsha: Hishamer beneged tzarat, at the top of the page. Hishamer is a lot. Don't come close. Neged tzarat. Lishmor ma'od lasod kol asher yoru etchem akohanim alaviyim kasher tzivitim tishmeru lasod. So it's not clear. The Torah warns us that we should follow the lead of the kohanim in matters that are connected to. In matters that are connected to Tzara'at. Now we know this, of course. The Torah quite expansively discusses Tzara'at, Tzara'at HaBeged, right? Tzara'at HaBayit, Tzara'at HaAdam, in the Parshiot of Tazria and Mitzorah. very expansively, and it's not clear why the Torah felt it had to re-emphasize. But okay, when it comes to re-emphasizing, doesn't re-emphasize it, it's sort of a subjective thing. Maybe people felt, or the Torah felt, that people would try to deal with it on their own, would not call it the Kohanim, would not, you know, as is not so uncommon. In any event, they're warned again. They're warned again here, even though, generally speaking, the Kohanim and the Levi'im are not subject to special warnings in the book of Dvarim. Nevertheless, here we're really talking about the people. The people have to be willing to allow the Kohanim to make this decision. That's what the Pasuk is about. Then there's another Pasuk. Zachor et asher asa Hashem lechem l'Miriam baderech b'tzeitchem mimitzrayim. Now what did God do to Miriam? He turned her into a leprous woman. And that leprosy was a punishment for the Lashon Hara that she spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu. We all know that story. So what is this? So how do you connect that? Zachor et asher asa Hashem lechem l'Miriam baderech b'tzeitchem mimitzrayim. That any time tzaraat appears, any time there is leprosy, it might be the result of natural causes, say, you know, some kind of disease, but it might also be specifically rooted in a transgression that that person, the person who's afflicted, did. And for that reason, it's important to remember Miriam. Because Miriam tells us, Miriam teaches us, that it might be the result of Lashon Hara. Even though we all know that, but if you said, like, what's the source? How do we know there's a special connection between Tzaraat and Lashon Hara? We know that from Miriam. Because Miriam spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't know what the Lashon Hara was exactly, but she spoke Lashon Hara and was afflicted by Tzaraat. Moshe Rabbeinu prayed for her good health, but she was outside of the Machaneh. She was in, what do you call that? Yeah, she was isolated. She was isolated because she was contagious until the Kohanim said that she could come back into the Machaneh, even though it was Miriam. Even though it was Miriam. So Rashi says, Zachor et asher asa Hashem lechem l'Miriam, im bata lizaher shelo tilakeh bir tzara'at, al tisaper l'shon hara. Zachor asui l'Miriam, shedibra b'achia v'lakta b'negaim. So with the way Rashi says this, he says you should worry when you see somebody as Sarat, remember that there's a Lashon Hara issue here. And if you don't want to get Sarat, don't talk Lashon Hara. And Miriam is referred to as being like a regular person. She talked Lashon Hara, so she was afflicted by Sarat. That's what Rashi says. Zachor means remember that there's a person, it's a story in the Torah that says that a person who spoke Lashon Hara was afflicted, and because she was afflicted, you know, the Rashbam says, see the Rashbam? It says, Afilu u melech ku'uziyah lo yichabdu eli atzkiruhu v'yishalchuhu uvadad yesheh. Rashbam is really a little bit different. He says, Shafilu u melech, even if he's a king, and gets tzara'at, he has to be expelled from the community, right? Kechol asher yiru etchem, Rashbam, sharei tizkor et asher asah Hashem Elokecha l'Miriam, sh'aba pish hayta neviyah, v'achot Moshe, lo chalku l'kavod, ela tisager shivat yamim. So you see the difference in Rashi and the Rashbam? You remember they were related, right? Rashi and Rashbam are related, and the Rashbam is a direct intellectual descendant of Rashi, not only a biological descendant, but he's an intellectual descendant. They learned together, they were the same Beit Midrash, they wrote the Perushim on the Gemara, the entire Gemara together. They were together. The Rashbam says about himself, when I decided to write a Perush on the Torah, I went to Rashi and I asked him, whether it was okay with him that I should do this. That's how close they were. And Rashi said, famous Rashi, you can do it, and I want you to write up l'fi apshatim hamitchatshim b'chol yom. What apshatim mitchatshim b'chol yom? Poshut. Pshatim hamitchatshim b'chol yom. Pshat always changes. Drash always stays the same. How's that? It's good, no? Like you could sell it in the street someplace. What's pshat? Pshat depends on grammar, pshat depends on history, pshat depends on archaeology, pshat depends on everything, on chemistry, on science, everything goes into pshat. So in pshat you could say, oh, that pshat's no good, because now we know better. But what's drash? Drash is the thought that people had at a particular time. It's never superseded. You could just have another kind of thought. But you can't, one thought doesn't deny the other thought, right? You know, one medrash doesn't cancel out another medrash. And that's why, if you look at the medrash, it's just like ongoing stuff. More and more and more about the same question. But pshat is you shoot him down in the OK Corral. You can't be right and have the wrong pshat. You know, it doesn't work. But you can have any drash you want. We got any drash you want. So this is Rashi and the Rashbam. The Rashbam said, no, the pasuk must mean that even Miriam was punished. Whereas Rashi says, look, Miriam was punished. As though Miriam was a regular kind of lashon hara talker. Now these two positions are explained very clearly by the Ramban. Let's look at the Ramban. It'll take a few minutes of annoyance, but you have to put up with it. It says, in Ramban, you see the Ramban? In the third line, right? Lefidati Shehi Mitzvat Asei Mamash. So now we have another issue. Another issue. You know that in the time of the Rambam, Rav Sadia Gaon, Bahag, Ramban, by the time of the Rishonim, one of the favorite sports was counting the mitzvot in the Torah. That, in other words, you start out with the assumption that there are 613 of them, and then you try to figure it out. Now, the difficulty, firstly, is that there are many more than 613 mitzvot in the Torah. Of course, it depends how you count them. You could say there are 20 mitzvot that are connected to Shechitat HaKorban, or you could say there's one. And the one mitzvah has a lot of branches. So you have to work it out, so at the end you count 613. That everybody agrees with. The Bahag, the Rambam, of Sadyagon, they all agree that there are 613 mitzvot. Why they thought there were 613 mitzvot is a separate question. Not that we're not going to deal with, but it's an interesting question. Right? Where does it say there's 613 mitzvot? So everybody knows there's a drasha. Im lavan garti, and then kama, v'dayag mitzvot, shamatim. Garti, the word garti, the gimel reish tav yud is taryag. I was out of the country, but I kept the Tayyag Mitzvot. And that became such an important matter that all the Minyanei Mitzvot, all those who counted the Mitzvot, said 613. So along came the Ramban, and he says, look at this Pasuk. It says, Zachor et Asher Asa Asher Elkad Lemiryam. So that looks like an obligation, no?
No, it's just for a moment. Isn't that like a massive problem for the Rambam? He says that there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael.
Why is it a massive problem? You just subtract a different one.
Okay.
I mean, there are other problems.
No, because if he wasn't, was he in Eretz Yisrael?
Who, the Rambam?
Yes.
Sure.
No. Yaakov, when he's with Levan.
Oh,
Yaakov, no, he was in Futzlar.
Right. So Levan Garti, Vatariat Mitzvot Shamarti,
right.
He wasn't keeping the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael.
So?
If he kept the Taryag, he wasn't keeping that.
Okay, good, you have a question. That's not give an answer. No, give an answer.
He
also didn't keep the korbanot.
Right.
All the mitzvot to live with Eretz Yisrael. It's not just living in Eretz Yisrael. There are 100 mitzvot connect to Eretz Yisrael. Okay? But so I got mitzvot, it's a concept. I kept every one that I could keep. Alright, so, well, right. I mean, if you're a Zionist, you can work at it. But you can, you don't have to. So in any event, this is what the Ramban said. The Ramban said, this pasuk, Zachor et Asher Hashem Elokecha LeMiriam, sounds like an obligation. Sounds like an obligation. So he says, the Fidati, Shu Mitzvah Tasei Mamash. This should be counted as one of the mitzvot of the Torah to remember Miriam. To remember Miriam, Kimo, Zachor et Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho. Right, that's a mitzvah. How do we do that mitzvah, Zachor et Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho? We say Kiddush. Right? Why do we say Kiddush? Because Kiddush is when we announce that it's Shabbat. And announcing that it's Shabbat is what it says in the Pasuk, Zachor. How do we Zachor? We usually, the Gemara says, Zachor is always done b'peh. You have to say it. It's not something you could just think that it's Shabbat. You have to say it's Shabbat. We say it's Shabbat when we make Kiddush. That's Zachor Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho. Zachor Tayyom HaZeh She'etzad Mitzrayim. That we do a lot of mitzvot. Zecher Yitzad Mitzrayim. Right? And then Zachor Tasher Asal Chamalek. Zachor Tasher Asal Chamalek. The Gemara says that Lo Tishkach is at least once a year. Right? So once a year, we're very careful. Before Purim, we read the parasha of Zachor, which happens to be at the end of the parasha of Ki Teitzei, which happens to be the parasha of Tashavua. Right? And therefore, if you didn't hear the parasha before Purim, you could be Zachor et Amalek this Shabbos. If you hear the end of the reading of the Torah of Ki Teitzei. Right? Anytime Amalek is mentioned, you have to have Kavanah. That's the difference. If you go to Shul, Erev, Purim, and hear Zachor, so then everybody knows what they're doing there. They came in order to do this mitzvah of Zachor. But if you just listen to Zachor, Parshat Ki Teitzei, this Shabbat in Shul, you have to have Kavanah to fulfill the mitzvah, because most of the people there are not doing that mitzvah. They're just reading the parasha. Right, so the question is whether you can get it for free. Like, even if you're not thinking about the mitzvah, maybe you get the mitzvah. But this is what he says. Kula mitzvah. He says, I would list all of these things as mitzvot. In my list of mitzvot, 613 mitzvot, Zachor about Shabbat, and Zachor about Amalek, and Zachor Yitzhak Mitzvah, they're all listed as mitzvot. So why shouldn't this also be listed as a mitzvah? So he's talking about, the Ramban is talking about the Rambam who didn't listen, and Bahad who didn't listen, Rav Zanyagoda didn't listen. None of them list Zachor et Asher Asal HaShem L'Kol Miriam. None of them. And he says, V'hi Azharam, V'im Ken Gam Zeh Kemotam, he says. There's no difference. This should be a mitzvah. Like, those are a mitzvah. V'hi Azharam V'ledaber L'shon Hara. He says, like, what are we supposed to remember? What is it exactly we remember? Remember Miriam? He says, Azara, Miridaber, Lashon Hara. We shouldn't talk Lashon Hara. Yitzaveh mitzvah to say, Shinizkor ha'onesh ha'gadol she'asa Hashem l'tzadeket ha'nevi'ah. He says, like the Ramban. He's saying it. He says, you have to remember. What do you have to remember? Not that she spoke Lashon Hara and was punished, but that she's a tzaddeket and a nevi'ah, and it didn't help her. In other words, you would think that would be a defense. So who is this? Who's this woman who's talking Lashon Hara? She's Miriam HaNevi'ah. She's like Moshe Rabbeinu. So a tzaddeket and a nevi'ah, shelo dibra ela ba'achia dumul chazda asher avato b'kinafsha. Because what was her Lashon Hara? She thought he was doing something wrong, and she thought that what he was doing wrong would affect his leadership, and that would be bad for him and for Klal Yisrael. So okay, so it was, maybe technically it was Lashon Hara, but it was not regular, easy, simple Lashon Hara. So the Ramban says that's what you have to remember, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very, very strict in the matter of Lashon Hara. Who do you learn that from? You learn that from Miriam Hanavia, because she was special, not like Rashi, not like Rashi, but more like the Rashbam. Right? Rashi seems to say, well, you just see, you learn about punishment for Lashon Hara. Rashbam says, no, and even she was a king, she would put outside. And here he says, the Ramban says, that she loved him like, with all her heart. She didn't speak before him standing there. Didn't want him to be embarrassed. Hakadosh Bitsina, that was the whole Lashon Hara, just two people. She and Aaron, Bitsina, hidden away. So what kind of transgression is this? And all the goodness that she was involved with her entire life didn't do her any good. Damata im teshe bachicha tabeban beben im mecha titein dofi. And similarly for you, even if you do very mild forms of Lashon Hara, you're not going to be protected. So that the mitzvah that the Ramban is talking about, remembering Miriam, is the way we learn about the severity of the transgression. Because even Miriam, who was in that category of a tzaddiket and a neviyah, and the one who loved her brother and only wanted to do good, and yet put all of those things together, she was punished anyway. That's what we're supposed to remember, according to the Rambam. That's what we're supposed to remember. Then he goes on and he says, "L'shon sifra." There's the Medrash Halacha, Kshuv Omer. This is a further explanation of what Zachor means. The Ramban says, is it possible to remember Shabbat in your heart? Only in your heart? Shamor sounds like it means in your heart. Keep it in your heart. No. The only way to do Shamor seems to be in your heart, but Shamor, you have to do something. You have to do it befeh. Right? Beficha. V'cheinu omer zachor al tishka. V'cheinu omer zachor tishar sasha v'lokecha. Lemiriam, Yichol v'lvavcha. Kishuol me yishamer v'neged zarat v'shpor ma'od v'la'asot. Right? The previous pasuk. Harei shbirat ha'lev amura. Amani mikayim zachor. Sheteei shoneh beficha. Right? That you have to say it with your mouth. V'cheinu omer zachor tishar salicha amalek. Yichol v'lvavcha. So he makes this distinction between remembering in your heart, not forgetting in your heart, and remembering. Remembering is always with words, always a statement, you always say it, which is a kasha on the Ramban. It's a kasha on the Ramban. Because every time there is a positive commandment for Zachor, Chachamim have bequeathed us with a nusach. Right? But by Zachor, Miriam, there is no Nusach. There's no Nusach. So it means that they didn't think that the Ramban was right. Which is interesting, I think. I mean, it's interesting that the Ramban makes such an issue of this. But, he goes on and he says, Ha, mani mikayem Zachor, Perushaki etzlam tishameh b'neged sarat, mineged sarat shmo ma'od shalot tibayek la'atzot, He goes through the whole pasuk. So the Ramban makes this case. Now, because of the Ramban, here I have my trusty art scroll siddur, which I can no longer read. You know that at the end of Shacharis, in many siddurim, in most siddurim. Achrei animam. One second. Oh, before. There's some people who start in the daven in the morning start from this. You know. So even though we don't paskin like the Ramban, there's a thing called here Sheish Zechirot. Sheish Zechirot. So that every time in the Torah, like not only did the Ramban officially lost, however, unofficially, not only do we say Zachor about Miriam, but we repeat every day all the Zachor that is in the Torah. Now, if you look in the art scroll, can you help me out? Just read this part here, which I can't see.
The commentary.
Yeah, the first part of the commentary. What does it say?
Kabbalist literature teaches that it is desirable to recite the 6 scriptural passages that command us always to bear in mind specific events.
Okay.
These major themes in our history are kept alive in our consciousness.
You get it? In other words, who came to the defense of the Ramban? The Arizal. Not Art Scroll. Art Scroll Adarabha. Now Art Scroll represents the anti-Kabbalistic position. Which is like the Litvaks.
You just said it was a Kabbalistic idea to do that.
Right. It's always good to wait for the second half of the statement. It's often clarified. But even though Art Scroll is anti-Kabbalah, there are times where they can't help it. You know, it's like people wouldn't buy the sitter if it wasn't in the Siwan. He's a reform sitter. If it didn't have the shapes. So at the end, you see that the Ramban won. Even though in the Minyan Mitzvah, you can't say it's a real mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that was added to the sitter, to the davening, by the Kabbalists. The way they did it was they included things that are a mitzvah. What is that?
My papers.
No, it's not me. They included, like in the Zachor, there's a... here. Zachor Tazer Salacha Amalek. It was according to the Siddur, you should say this every day. It was whereas in the Halacha, how often do you have to do the mitzvah of Zachor Amalek?
Once a year,
because the year is a period of time that you can remember. So if you go from year to year, you more or less are accomplishing this. Along came the Kabbalists, and they said, no, we don't trust you. You can forget any time, so say it every day. So they included things that are a mitzvah and things that are not officially a mitzvah. And then we have the Sheish Zechirot. Sheish Zechirot are in every sitter today, I think. Every sitter that I know about. So here's the Ramban. And the question is, of course, what's the issue? What's the issue? How come Zachor Asher Salach Hashem Elokecha LeMiriam is not a mitzvah? Why shouldn't it be included as a mitzvah? I mean, you can either include it as its own mitzvah, or you can include it as a separate mitzvah. One or the other. I mean, what's the issue here? What issue is there that the Ramban is grabbing onto? So if you turn over the sheet, there is there's something from the Sfat Emet which I think we should look at. The Sfat Emet is the second paragraph. He says, "B'medrash Zachor et Asher et Asher Hashem L'Kadosh Miriam Mashal Matrona." Right? It's like an old woman. Now, where is this matrona? That's at the top of the page. Sorry, it was just published backwards. Davar Acher Zachor. You see. Rabbanan Amrei Lemaha Davar Domeh. Rabbanan said, what is this business with Miriam getting Sara'at and then coming, leaving the Machaneh and coming back to the Machaneh? Like, what is that? Lemaha Davar Domeh. Lemelech. Imagine a king. Shalah Mina Milchama. Who came back victorious from some battle. Kilsa'ata. Oto Matrona. A woman praised him and spoke highly of him. Amar Hamelech, Tikre Uman Shen Sankalito. So he praised her also very highly, whatever those words meant. Right? He praised her highly. Lachayamim Hitchila L'arev Onana Shel Melech. And after some time, She started messing up his food, like she served the soup first or last, or like something happened. She didn't act properly. So she said, "Amar Amelech, kachasit, you messed up my food. Titared lematalot. So go into exile. Go to Siberia. Go someplace where I'll never see you again." Right, so there's this woman. She praised the king in a wondrous manner. And so the king was very happy about it, beholden to her, so she was in his court. And then at some later day, she just messed up the food. I mean, you can't compare one to the other, can you? And to be able to praise the king is a lot more, more to think about than just messing up the order of the food that comes, you know, that anybody could do. But to praise the king in a noticeable way, that was something special. Kach b'sha'ah sh'asah HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'lchemet hayam. Similarly, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu fought or allowed the Jews to fight the battle in the sea, in the Red Sea, Amram Miriam Shira. So she was equal to Moshe Rabbeinu. She sang the song of Moshe Rabbeinu on her own. Benikreit Neviyah. And she was called, given the specific title of being a Neviyah, Shenemar Vatikach Miriam a Neviyah. Remember the Pasuk?
Yes.
Kevan Shamra Lashon Hara Al Achiyah. Since she said Lashon Hara al Achiyah on her brother, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Titared leMatalon, she should be driven out to Siberia. Shenemar Vatisager Miriam. That's what it says in the Medrash. That's what it says in the Medrash, Rabbah Tadvari. What does it say? What does it say? That the schuyot that she had for singing the song which was the praise of God, Ashir Hashem Ki Golgat Susra Hu Rama V'yam, that song earned her the title of Neviyah, but it did not protect her from messing up in Lashon Hara. And so, it doesn't really explain it, but it's a kind of a description. It says, like, even though you may be beholden, the king may be beholden to some woman who sang his praises, but if she messes up, I mean, that's how she's going to be judged. She's not cumulative. Right? The judgment is not cumulative, but it's immediate. Oh, you did that? Out to Siberia with you. So look what the Sfat HaMet says about this. By Medrash. Zachor et asher asah Hashem elokim Miriam. Mashal matrona. Mashal matrona is what we just read. Yes? Kach Miriam amra shira. Hayen shama inyan. Who? I'm going to explain it, he says. Svatamet liyot Korach ish Yisrael b'tfeh. Everybody understands that the power of the ish Yisrael is b'tfeh. It's b'tfeh. Lachen tzrichim lishmor ha'peh milashon hara. So he said that the lashon hara is not only bad because it influences things in a bad way, but because it produces a serious defect in the Jewish people. And the defect that it produces in the Jewish people is that they are supposed to have the power of speech. The power of speech? What does that mean? Right? Miriam ayah bechinat Torah Sheba'al Peh. And Miriam equals Torah Sheba'al Peh. Torah Sheba'al Peh, meaning her Torah was the Torah that she led the women to sing after Kriyat Yam Suf. That's Torah Sheba'al Peh. Lachain Be'er Bishut Miriam. It's very telescoped, this Svat HaMet. Be'er, the well, is Miriam. Now you know that when Moshe Rabbeinu came to Midian, when Yaakov went to Aram Naharaim, they both met up with a Be'er, Right? They both had to uncover the Be'er. They both had to get somehow to the Torah Shebaal Peh represented by the Be'er. Lachein Be'er b'schut Miriam. Shehi piha Be'er. She is the mouth, right? She is the mouth that sang the song, which was the Torah Shebaal Peh, because after all, Moshe Rabbeinu, he was the Torah Shebichtav, right? The piha Be'er, the Katav, Ali Be'er, Enula. Ali Be'er, that was the song that they sang about the bear. Ali Be'er, Enula. Who's La? La is Miriam. Shehi b'chinat Torah Shebaal Peh. She represents Torah Shebaal Peh. Baal Shem Zed Nikra Miriam Pu'a. Pu'a, Shifra, and Pu'a. Pu'a is Miriam. What is Pu'a? Pa'ot. Et ha-peh, to open the mouth. Shepo'a el ha-yeled ayem sham. That makes that kind of noise to children. To talk, the talk the children talk. Lefisha yakocha gadol be-peh. And since she was a very powerful peh, ne'ensha bedabra al Moshe. Ne'ensha bedabra al Moshe. Kimo shekatuv shemetaktek im atzadikim kechut ha-sa'ara. So what is it that the Tzfat Emet tries to explain to us? It tries to explain to us that the sin of Miriam in speaking Lashon Hara was greater than the sin of any Lashon Hara that you could imagine. Because she was supposed to protect the power of Peh. And the power of Peh, the power of Peh, this power that the Jews would supposedly have, which connected to them, which would connect them to Torah Shebaal Peh, was corrupted by Miriam. So even though, as the Ramban says, the actual act of Lashon Hara was minimum, the damage that was done according to the Sfat Emet was maximum. It was a tremendous amount of damage. So now the question is, if you see this comment, when the Pasuk says Zechor et asher asah Hashem Elokeinu le'Miriam, when the Pasuk says, what are we supposed to remember exactly? So according to Rashi, we're supposed to remember that she talked Lashon Hara, so she was punished. According to the Rashbam, we're supposed to remember that even though she was an important person, she was punished anyway. That's a good thing to remember. According to the Rambam, supposed to remember, the Pasuk says, do it, right? It's a remembering that's obligatory. According to the Sfat Emet, we say, no. That we remember what happened to Miriam. To know that we don't have to be like Miriam. We don't have to only, it's not only Miriam who is chayevet in Lashon Hara. Miriam is a chiddush. That even though Miriam was this special person and should have been accepted from doing the Lashon Hara, nevertheless, she was punished in this way. Along comes the Sfat Emet, and says she was punished, but not for what we do when we talk Lashon Hara. She was punished for what only she could damage by talking Lashon Hara. That's what the Sfat Emet says. So we understand. If Leman Tizkor in this case means it's a call to action, you're supposed to do something by remembering, then certainly it should be a mitzvah. It should be included. Minyan mitzvah, as the Ramban said. But if Leman Tizkor is not a call to action, but it's just an explanation about the severity of the Aveira, then it's not a mitzvah. It's something else. It's explanation of a mitzvah. There are other mitzvahs that tell me that it's osur lashon hara. So you see that these two different ways of looking at the same material in the pasuk produce two different kinds of results, right? Where the Sfat Emet sort of like builds on what the Medrash had to say. I mean, the Sfat Emet says it. It's not an invention of mine. And the question of Lashon Hara becomes very subjective. Like people, who is saying it and what are they doing? So they could be doing something to somebody else. They could be doing something to themselves as well. do something as well. So I think the point of the Ramban is very well taken, that Miriam didn't really want to harm anybody. She only wanted to do good things. And since she had the status of a Nevi'ah, she should have been somehow declared innocent, because that was her understanding of the prohibition. Along comes the Sfat Emet and says, no, Miriam was special. And because she was special, she was not able to extricate herself from the sin of Lashon Hara. Okay.